it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Pack-A-Day Radio Show, live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM The Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Reminder that the Mason Crosby Show is coming up next from 9 to 11. Also, you can join Wisconsin Sports Daily and Steve Sparky Pfeiffer on the road at the Brat House in Shorewood this afternoon from 2 to 5 p.m. Brought to you by Sun Cruiser Vodka Iced Tea on 1250 AM and 105.7 FM The Fan. Make sure you're checking both of those out. Right now, joining us on the Fan Guest Hotline, powered by Gruber Law, is Steve Perhatch, Pack-A-Day Podcast. You can find him on social media at Steve Perhatch. Steve, how are you doing, my friend?
Good. What's going on, my friend?
Oh, I am wonderful. It is a great time to be a Green Bay Packers fan. And actually, with that in mind, I want to get your thoughts on this clip from Andrew Brandt. It was a couple weeks ago, but I think it's even more apropos today. So Tommy's going to play it. I want to get your thoughts on it.
Okay.
You guys, you Packers fans, I love you. You people. I'm going to say, I grew up spending summers in Wisconsin. I love Wisconsin. I love everything you stand for. Can you imagine being a Packers fan? Like, you just... You're so taken care of. You're everything's always so great. Even when it's not, it still is. Because, you know, the headline is, if you were, like, born in, like, in the mid-80s when you were a baby, you've never been a Packers fan without at least a Hall of Fame quarterback and then whatever this version of Jordan Love is. And that's we already know that. But then every once in a while, the Packers, like, they give you this little bonus. You know, they hit you with, like, a little fan dividend. Be like, you know what? We'll give you Reggie White. We'll give you Charles Woodson. We'll give you Micah Parsons. Out of nowhere. It's like you this gift that you get. You guys have it so good. You, it's cold out there in them streets for other fans. You have no idea what it's like to stand around a barrel fire with fingerless gloves just trying to stay warm. You're in your penthouse all the time. And if I sound like I'm jealous of you, I am. And everyone should be. You're so privileged. You're the trust fund fans. Everything is taken care of. You're so wonderful and so lucky and so great. There's a convertible in the driveway when you turn 16. It's just the life that you people live. And I'm happy for you, but I'm also very jealous of you. Once again, Packers fans just find a winning lottery ticket in their pocket. It's amazing.
That was Kyle Brandt of the NFL Network, not Andrew Brandt. My apologies for that. But Steve, how privileged are Green Bay Packers fans?
I mean, he's not wrong. I can't argue. The one thing you point to is they only the Super Bowl wins. Like, right. Obviously Tom Brady skews that and the Patriots skew that to the point of, if that doesn't exist, then maybe the Packers are happy, like, and they're due for a Super Bowl win. But yeah, it's not a bad thing to be a Packers fan, man. Like, it's I lived in Chicago for 6 years. I've got several fans who are Bears fans, or friends who are Bears fans, and the amount of struggle and pain that they go through year after year. And I mean, granted, the Lions are doing good now, but I mean, I have one of my good friends, Dave, was one of my roommates in college. He eternally was just miserable being a Lions fan. And so, yeah, I think the Packers, we are spoiled as the fans, because most years we have a higher quality product than most of the other teams. And it's, but yeah, I wouldn't have it any other way.
I have a friend who's a very close friend who's a Bears fan as well. And he's like, I don't think you understand of, like, we are living different livelihoods as NFL fans. He's like, I literally can't enjoy the NFL anymore. He's like, it's the same thing every week. We lose every single time. We get so excited in the offseason of something new is going to happen, and then it completely blows up in our face. And he's like, it's not even fun to watch, like, the other teams, because you already know your team lost at noon every single Sunday. And, like, here you guys have Micah Parsons and another quarterback, and you're now, like, the best team in the league. He's like, it's not fair. It's not, he's like, and here's his text to me the other day. So I messaged him the Jalen Johnson news, that Jalen Johnson is going to be out for the year. And he just said, all that matters is Ben and Caleb are the right guys. All that matters is Ben and Caleb are the right guys. All that matters is Ben and Caleb are the right guys. And he said, I'm going to just keep repeating it to myself. Like it's a breathing exercise until I just get it down. And like, just, it's like, he's just trying to latch on to something at this point that he can hang on to, like, that there's some branch of hope there. Yeah. And to your point, Steve, like, we have had our share of stab you in the back, just gut-wrenching playoff losses to an extent that maybe no fan base should ever have to go through. We don't need to name them. Everyone knows them. But yes, from a overall standpoint of what we get to enjoy week in and week out through the course of season after season, I think privileged is probably a right word.
Definitely.
As we kind of look at this team right now, and with it being a team that now you're starting to see the power rankings come out, and Green Bay is atop a lot of the lists already, what have been your takeaways from the season, Steve, as you've kind of watched these first 2 weeks and kind of had the opportunity to digest it a little bit?
Obviously, with Micah Parsons being added, that's a huge thing. But to me, the thing that's been the biggest takeaway is the defense. And I've said it on the podcast. I jumped on a couple other radio shows, and violence. That is the word that comes to mind when it comes to this defense. And it is something that you have not seen from a Packers defense, maybe since the Super Bowl years, with Reggie. Like, that team was like, they just get after the ball. They get to in years past, it was like, missed a tackle, going for 15 yards. Now it's, missed a tackle, there's seven other guys right there to make that tackle. And just something we're not used to seeing, and it's really cool to see Jeff Hafley have all the tools in his tool belt that he can just go and make and have fun. Like, it's got to be so much fun for that guy to be able to, like, what am I going to cook up today? Like, this week, all right, he does this. And, like, you saw the difference in the defense when Jaden Daniels was a quarterback as opposed to Jared Goff. It wasn't as much, of the blitzing. It was much more trying to get home with four, stay in your lanes, and not have him get out outside the pocket and attack you. And so I'm excited. Like, I don't think this was just a blip on the radar of, like, people will figure out the Packers defense. Like, no, I think this is the Packers defense. So you've seen that. You've seen some growth from the offense. Like, they're struggling a little bit with the run game. And they're just continually finding ways to score, and Jordan Love's doing his thing. To me, like, it can only go up from here.
When Jeff Hafley signed, it's like he got to be the chef of, like, a nice, like, 3, maybe 4-star, like, restaurant. Mm-hmm. It's like, things are good. And then it's like, we're actually going to remake some things, remodel the interior. Here's some caviar, some fine cut steaks. Like, here's some truffle mushrooms. Like, you go do whatever you want. And now he's like a Michelin star chef with all the ingredients that he's got to work with. So it has been a joy to watch what he is cooking up literally every single week on defense. I don't know what you do on, Washington and testing him with everything, deep down the field, intermediate, short, outside, running the ball, Jaden Daniels scrambling. Like, they've got a lot of ways to challenge you, and Green Bay had answers to literally every single thing that Washington tried. It's been really exciting to see so far. As we're talking here with Steve Perhatch, Packaday Podcast. You can find him on social media at Steve Perhatch. As we get ready for Packers-Browns Week 3, what are you looking for in this matchup to hopefully Green Bay can just kind of take care of business and not have this be one of those games where it's like fourth quarter and the Browns are still hanging around and you're like, can you guys just put this team away? What do they need to do to go in here and get this win?
I think consistency is the key. Is not, like you said, don't overthink it. Don't be like, they just got curb stomped by the Ravens. Like, this will be a cakewalk. Like, you can't take any team in the NFL lightly. We've all seen the crazy times where the worst team has beaten, like, one of the best teams, and it's just like, how did that happen? Because they let them hang around. And they were making unforced errors and things. So to me, this team just needs to continue doing what they're doing, spread the ball around on offense. It's crazy to say that Joe Flacco can still sling the ball around, but I mean, he can. He's still got the arm. He's still got that arm talent, and they've got some weapons on the outside with Jerry Jeudy. I know the rookie running back is getting ramped up, Judkins. And so, I mean, it was some garbage time yards, but he put up like 60, I think, last week, 61.
On minimal carries,
Yeah, and so he only played like 19 snaps. So, that's something to watch out for because, he was very highly talented and came out, I think, early, right, first pick of the second round. So it's something to watch for there. But, I mean, as long as the Packers do what they've been doing the first 2 weeks, it shouldn't be an issue.
Yeah, I think so too. To me, turnovers just can't allow Cleveland to stay in this game because of your own self-inflicted wounds and mistakes. If this is a neutral turnover, if it's either 1-1, 0-0, whatever it might be, if it's neutral in the turnover margins, that this is a game Green Bay wins like 95, 97 times out of 100. And if they win the turnover battle, it probably, to me, is the game they win 100 times out of 100. So you can't have those. You can't have dumb special teams. Like, you can't allow returns for touchdowns or things like that. Right. It's going to take something like that in order for this game to swing in Cleveland's favor. So just got to really be making sure that you're taking care of those couple things. And, of course, that Myles Garrett's not wrecking shop as well, which is sometimes easier said than done. As you look at this Packers team in total through the first couple weeks, what to you needs to get better? You know, we've seen a very impressive team so far, but there's always room for growth. What needs to improve going into week three?
So we got this question, I think, on the podcast last week, and we were all being very nitpicky because it's a very hard to come up with something that that this team really thoroughly needs to improve on, because the first 2 weeks they've been so good. And the thing that I've seen, I want to see some better ball placement from Jordan Love. Don't get me wrong, he's thrown some dimes, like that ball to Jaden Reed that broke his collarbone. Like, yep, that was an absolute dime. But there are throws that he's had some wide receivers that are wide open, that if he just puts a little extra oomph on it, if he just leads them a little bit more, like, that's a bigger play. Like the play to Tucker Kraft, 65 yards, whatever that was, he still had to stop for the ball. Yep. And that's the kind of thing that, like, and then you get to those throws to Matthew Golden. Like, those are the ones that a little extra air under the ball. And I'm not freaking out, because obviously Jordan Love's a very talented player, and he's just got Golden onto the team. And, you know, he missed some training camps, so that's why they maybe are not fully on the same page. And I expect them to be at some point. And maybe he just doesn't fully get how fast he is. But, like, those plays are there, and Jordan Love just needs to be a tick better, and then all of a sudden we go from 27 points to 45 points. Yep. And so, again, very nitpicky, but there's definitely some balls that Jordan Love could improve placement on that would really, I think, help grow the offense even more.
Adam Block in the chat said chemistry with Golden, which is kind of what you're saying here as well. And then run blocking, yep, he mentioned as well, which, again, I think is something that can help out Josh Jacobs. Jacobs is going to get those 100-yard games through the course of the season. And, again, once that run game gets cooking too, I think this offense is going to take off at an even higher level. We'll see if they can do that this week against Cleveland. On the flip side, as, again, we're being joined by Steve Perhatch, Packaday Podcast. Find him on social media at Steve Perhatch. What are you irrationally excited about that you are ready to crown or are ready to celebrate, even though we are only 2 weeks in? What are you just, you can't get out of your head, is living rent-free in your head with how good it is so far?
Maybe it's more like not how good it is, but just the potential of just seeing Matthew Golden like flying around the field. Now with Jaden Reed being out, I'm curious if he's going to get even more playing time, if they might move him into that role. But honestly, like, I'm excited for this offense, like that. And then the fact of Christian Watson coming back mid-season, hopefully, like, yep, he's already talking, like, if this was the NFC Championship game, I'd be back tomorrow. I'm like, oh my God, he's that much of the athlete, like that much of a grinder. So, like, that's having him with Golden, having a healthy Jaden Reed, having Romeo Doubs, like Tucker Kraft, Luke Musgrave, like, oh my God, like, try to stop one guy, that's fine. They'll find a million other guys to throw the ball to. Like, it's so, this offense has so much potential, and they're not there yet. And that, like, the fact that they're already dominating games on defense, and this offense is growing and growing and going to get even better. Like, before the season, I was kind of like, you know, they'll be pretty good. Once they got Parsons and everything, I was gung-ho, like, Super Bowl or bust. I haven't bought Madden in years. I'm thinking about my Madden again, because that's how much fun this team is.
It really, really is. We have some breaking news. The Cincinnati Bengals have figured out their quarterback situation, bringing in former Packers quarterback Sean Clifford to solve all of their problems. They're also bringing in quarterback Mike White. So no Malik Willis in Cincinnati, but they do get a former Packers quarterback in Sean Clifford. So adding a couple quarterbacks to that roster right now. Again, we're being joined by Steve Perhatch, Packaday Podcast. You can find him again on social media at Steve Perhatch. You mentioned Jaden Reed. Obviously, his injury has been one of the bigger bummers of these first couple weeks of the season. Mm-hmm. How do you feel like Green Bay should go about replacing him?
I mean, I think it's kind of the way that Green Bay does things, next man up. Yeah. They're not going to go out and, you know, I was asked, I jump on a radio station down in Alabama every once in a while and do some Packers stuff for them. And they're like, well, what do you do without Jaden Reed? Like, are they going to go trade for Tyreek Hill? I was like, no, absolutely. Like, first of all, they use their first round draft picks. Like, those are gone. So I don't foresee them bringing in a big name wide receiver that's just, you know, for the most part, not their style outside of the Parsons trade. But I think you move Matthew Golden up, like you want Savion Williams, or you're going to get him more involved. Continue to do Dobbs and Wicks and Musgrave and Kraft. Like, you're good. You're good. Like, this Packers offense can sustain. Like, they have the depth at wide receiver to sustain an injury. Like, so hopefully there's no, as long as there's no more, knock on wood, then they should be fine.
Yeah, I think so too. And if there's a position, again, kind of like you're saying, that they have the ability to kind of make up for it, it's probably at that wide receiver position. I see, before we get you out of here, Packers Browns prediction for the game. How are you feeling?
Oh, I feel great. I think it's not an easy win, because road ones are always a little tougher, but I think that's a win for the Packers. I'd go like 30-14.
Okay. I'm loving it. I think they should go out and dominate. You know, it's first road game of the season. People say trap game. I don't think it's really a trap game. I think it is.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Is their first road game. It's not like they're like, maybe Micah Parsons is looking ahead to Dallas a little bit, but I don't think they're like, sure, Oh my God, Dallas is around the corner. I think they're going to be fine in this one too. Whether they cover or not, I don't know. I don't care, but I think they're going to win in this one at the end of the day. And that's what I most care about. I don't think we're going to see some sort of crazy upset by Cleveland. I just don't think they're going to be able to put the points up that they're going to need in order to hang with Green Bay in this one. So hopefully it should be a fun one for Green Bay. Steve, I cannot thank you enough. Everything you do coming on here today, and then also for the Pack a Day podcast every single week. Tell us about where we can find all your incredible work.
Oh yeah, I did all my incredible work. No, just, you can follow me on for sarcastic comments and all sorts of stuff on Twitter. It's at Steve Perhatch. But then we do Pack a Day podcast every Wednesday. Our episode is released with Dusty and Sarah, and so always a good time. Just lots of Packer talk, hijinks, and Oreo conversations. So feel free to tune in anytime you can.
It is the absolute best. I cannot appreciate you enough. I will certainly be tuning in this week, as I always do, with the three of you who do such an incredible job. Steve, I will talk to you soon. Enjoy your day. And again, we'll hopefully be able to catch up here in the very near future.
Sounds good. Thanks a lot.
I appreciate you, my friend. That is Steve Perhatch joining us again on the Fan Guest Hotline, powered by Gruber Law. One call, that's all. Make sure to follow him on social media at Steve Perhatch. This is the Packaday Radio Show. More right after this.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.